Hey everyone, you're listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week on the Fantasy Football Beat, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the games of the week. On this week's show, my guest is going to be Matt Money Smith of Chargers.com. We'll be discussing the Cleveland Browns' trip to face the in-form LA Chargers, and we'll be looking at some of the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide the game. We'll be talking about Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen and how they have grown over the season, really, and how they have really shot into form over the last 2 weeks. We'll be talking about Chargers' defense. We'll be talking a little bit about the Browns and how they can, in fact, cause some problems this week for this LA Chargers team. So, after I talk with Matt, I'll take a few minutes to recap what we discussed, and I'll use some of the RotoViz apps to dive a little bit deeper into the game from a fantasy football perspective. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. You can find out more about all the great articles and content, as well as the fantastic tools and the tools that I'll be using later on in the show on rotoviz.com, so head over there and check out this site. It's incredible that this is the week 13 edition of the show. It has been a fantastic experience as I've gone through this season with the debut season of the Fantasy Football Beat. It has been a lot of fun for me personally as I take the show to you each and every week and break down different matchups. Got to talk to a lot of great beat reporters. Got to find out a lot of great information by diving a little bit deeper, find some values in some players that really have helped me throughout this fantasy season. And of course, that fantasy season isn't over yet. So hopefully on today's show, we're going to be able to find a little bit of information that'll help you with your games this week, whether it's players for the Browns, whether it's players for the LA Chargers, and of course that fantasy season isn't over yet. So hopefully on today's show we're going to be able to help you find some value on players and some players you should or maybe shouldn't play as we progress through the show here, and hopefully I'll be able to set you up with a few of those. So as I mentioned, I'll be back after I talk with Matt, and I'll go through it a little bit more from a fantasy football perspective and who I'll be starting, who I'll be sitting this coming week. So without any further wait, let's get Matt on the show. So I'm delighted to be joined on the show now by Matt Money Smith. A lot of you might know Matt from his work with the NFL Network or the Pedros and Money Show. He gets around, so he does, Matt, a lot of different media outlets that he sports his name on, but now part of the Chargers, and he is the voice of the Chargers as their play-by-play announcer. So I'm very interested to get his perspective on this Sunday's game. But as always, Matt, it's my pleasure to have you aboard any show that I do, but the first time aboard the Beat Report, so thanks for joining me.
Anytime, Tom. Always love talking to you.
So obviously we're looking, at the Chargers-Bills coming up this weekend, and I'm just about getting used now to send the LA Chargers. I got the San Diego part of it out of my system as the season went along, but the Chargers absolutely crushed the Bills in Week 11, 54-24, and then on Thanksgiving they absolutely steamrolled the Cowboys 28-6. Keenan Allen has been pretty much dominating over the last 2 weeks. There's been arguably nobody better in the league over that time period. Phillip Rivers is playing some of the best football of his career, I think, and the defense is starting to look extremely solid. So looking back to that Thanksgiving game, and it is a game in which Phillip Rivers was awarded the AFC Offensive Player of the Week over the last couple of days. So it's been a nice week for the Chargers with that extra rest. What was your biggest takeaway from that game over the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, certainly offense, and the continuation of Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen and that connection. And, it's what we thought we were going to see a lot of this whole season. But Anthony Lynn came in. He had an offensive philosophy. It was to really be physical, run the ball, and he was very determined to get that going. And the pass game took a back seat to that. And I think the last couple of weeks you're starting to see what we're used to seeing from Ken Wisenhunt and Phillip Rivers, and that's that it is a little more pass-heavy, that they feel like they do have a mismatch against any team, no matter the cornerback, unless they're going to double-team them, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, the last 2 weeks, both the Cowboys and Bills have been playing, Keenan Allen man-to-man, and he has wrecked them. And so Phillip has just been taking, advantage of those situations. And so I think you've seen a shift, and this offense is now producing like we thought it had the potential to produce, given the weapons that it has. And that hasn't been the case all season. The defense has been very consistent. They just got their second defensive player of the month. For the month of November, it's Casey Hayward. For the month of September, it was Melvin Ingram. That side of the ball has been very consistent and dominant. And now we're seeing the offense starting to catch up.
Yeah, and we're going to be we'll be touching on some of the key matchups in a moment and looking through obviously the defensive side of it and the offensive side of it. Maybe some ways that we can look to stop Keenan Allen, but that's not something that the Chargers fans out there want us to be trying to do. But when we look at the injury report, and I'm basing it off Wednesday's injury report. We're recording this Thursday, and Thursday's reports haven't come out yet. So we're looking at very, very light injury reports for both sets of teams here. Casey Hayward did not practice Wednesday, but it was a calf injury and a personal reason, so he is expected to be okay. Corey Legit, the defensive tackle, toe injury, didn't practice. Mike Williams didn't practice that knee injury that he picked up, so he is likely to miss this upcoming week. And then we had Nick Novak with a limited participation. He had that back injury against the Dallas Cowboys, and they have since signed Travis Coons as the a possible option signed to the practice squad. We'll see with that what happens. And then Spencer Pulley, the center, has had an injury with a limited practice as well. So when we look through them, pretty light for this stage of the season. Obviously the extra rest will have helped that. Is there any of those guys, probably Mike Williams, you expect to miss this week? Any of the rest of them that you think their status will be up in the air come Sunday?
Yeah, one of the keys, and it's a very sad situation. Casey Hayward's brother was killed in a car accident. So that's the personal reason. He's back in Georgia with his family, and he may miss the game. You know, totally understandable. He was with the team. Coach Lynn said, you need to go home. You know, go on, get home with your family. So he left yesterday. Actually, he left late Tuesday. To be with his family. So he may come back. He may not. Obviously, that is his personal schedule. So there's a great possibility that he won't be there. But they feel good about their defensive back situation. And obviously, they want Casey to take as much time as he needs for something as severe as that to have happened to his family. So you have Trevor Williams, who has been great in place of the injured Jason Verrett. We thought that was going to be a dramatic drop-off. Instead, Trevor's been fantastic. Desmond King, you saw, had that interception against Dak Prescott, took 90 yards to the house. He's been their nickelback and kind of a floater. I would imagine you'd just see a whole lot of him out there in place of Casey. So that would be the one to keep an eye on. And otherwise, you know, Corey Legit's been dealing with a back injury, so the toe is something new. But he's been playing great as of late alongside Brandon Mebane and just kind of locking up the interior of that line. So both Bosa and Ingram can just come flying off the edges. So those would be the two that I would keep an eye on. You mentioned Travis Coons. I think they're going to carry two kickers. They really want it to be Nick Novak. They like Nick Novak. They like his veteran presence. They trust him. I know that the numbers, you know, aren't great for him. One was a bad hold in Jacksonville, one of those misses, and then the miss in Dallas was, you know, the back that he wrecked while he made that kick. So I think, you know, if you take the percentages out, which are not good, they feel very comfortable with Nick Novak being their kicker moving forward. So they would prefer that it's Nick, but my guess is he'll start the game, and if that thing's acting up, they're not put in the same position they were last week with Drew Kaser, who did a great job, you know, trying to fill in on kickoffs and stuff. Obviously missed an extra point, but that's what you'll likely see there, is they'll carry, much like Dallas did last week with Nugent and Dan Bailey, they'll carry both Coons and Novak on the active roster.
Yeah, and obviously that news as well with Casey Hayward, I wasn't aware of that part of the personal side of it, but obviously that's our thoughts go out to him. A very, very tough thing for anyone to have to go through. So when we're looking now into the Browns side of things, and you know, I mentioned they're very light on the injury report for both teams this week, and pretty much the only person with a do not practice next to their name this week was Sammy Coates. And so far we have Kenny Britt, Isaiah Crowell, Darren Smith as limited participants in practice, but when you're limited on a Wednesday, it usually bodes well. So Sammy Coates, the one there to watch as we progress on through the week. But when we start to get into looking at some of the key matchups in this game, obviously we've kind of touched on the Chargers defense a couple of times, and they've just been extremely impressive over the last couple of weeks. So the matchup between them and the Browns offense, you know, the defense is kind of peaking at the right time. Entering this Sunday's game, they forced 8 turnovers and scored 3 touchdowns over the past 2 weeks. So when your defense is putting up 3 touchdowns over 2 games, that is a really, really positive sign. Joey Bosa ranks 5th in the NFL with 10.5 sacks, and Melvin Ingram is 8th with 8.5 sacks. So they're pretty much, you know, bossing things on that side of the ball, and Joey Bosa has just looked absolutely incredible. But how impressed have you been with the defense over the last game? In 5 or 6 weeks, as they've really rounded into shape?
You said it. It's both Bosa and Ingram get it started, and man, I just, when you think about the loss of Joe Thomas and a rookie quarterback and DeShone Kizer and how the Browns are going to try to navigate that. I know they have other pieces on the offensive line, but none of them are Joe Thomas. Batonio's solid. But even a 70% Tyron Smith, who is better than, you know, a 70% Tyron Smith is probably better than 95% of the tackles in the league. And you saw how many issues he had with Joey Bosa, and how tough it was for him to try to keep up with him. Bosa, I think, has emerged as deep. I don't think there's anyone better. And I know I'm the Chargers play-by-play guy, but I think that is your best pass rusher in the league. And it's not only because of the sacks, but his hands are so lethal around quarterbacks. I mean, he slaps the ball away so often. He pushes them. Like, if he can't get the sack, you'll see Bosa shove guys into other players to get sacks or just put them into tough spots. Not to mention, he's got over 50 tackles. So he's great in run support. He's great at recognizing when he's going to back off and not get a sack, but instead make a play in the backfield or maybe slow. You'll see him swallow up running backs from behind, maybe limiting what would be 6 and 7 yard gains to 2 and 3 yards. And Melvin Ingram, just my goodness, the size speed combination there, when you figure almost every team is now dealing with a chip or a second, or a helper to slow down Bosa. And when he comes free, man, does he hit you hard. And I think that is just, that seed gets planted early in the game. And those quarterbacks see ghosts, and they see them a whole lot. So if they're not back there, they're seeing some sort of apparition that is a version of them. And that's what I figure will again be, you know, what's the, you know, they're the straw that stirs the defense drink. And that's what I suspect we'll see again.
Yeah, it starts up front, and then obviously that helps the coverage. And then, again, if the coverage is as good as it has been this year with pretty much three standout cornerbacks, it's a really tough situation for any offense. And you mentioned there with Bosa, he is tied already his career high for sacks. He has 10.5, so he has 21 sacks so far through his career, through those two seasons, which is, you know, pretty much a historical rate, and it's just amazing to watch what he's doing. And you mentioned hasn't been the best defensive end in the NFL. With, you know, when J.J. Watt comes back, he might have something to say about that, but Bosa has just been incredible. Melvin Ingram as well just needs two more on the season to get his best of his career. So it's been very, very impressive from this defense, and I think they're going to probably feast this week again against this Browns team. But when we're looking at the defensive side and who they have to deal with, obviously this week it's going to be interesting to see, because they're going have to deal with Josh Gordon and Hugh Jackson, so he wants to get him involved as much as possible. We hear a lot of talk from coaches, you know, in this sort of situation it might lead to something, it might lead to nothing. It's very hard to break down that speculation, but it's his first regular appearance in the NFL since December 2014. There's no way he's really going to be ready for a full complement of snaps, but it is very good to see Gordon making his way back. I thought maybe his time had passed and the off-the-field issues were going to be something that always he dragged around with him. It's been amazing to read some of the stories and listen to him talk about how his life has changed and what he was doing when he was in college, what he was doing in his time in the NFL. But it looks like he will be second at wide receiver snaps this week behind Corey Coleman. But with him and Coleman, what sort of challenge do you see that having for this Chargers team this weekend?
You know, I think you kind of said it there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Gordon is so talented. He's so big. He's so fast. He is a load to deal with, no doubt about it. But who knows? Who knows what it's going to feel like when he takes his first full contact hit? If it's, you know, Jahlil Adai, who's coming over from a safety spot after he makes it, let's just say, it's just a slant, and there's Jahlil Adai waiting, and he thumps him. I mean, how does he respond to that? Is his body okay with that, or does it hurt 10 times as much as he's used to remembering it hurting? I don't know, but I do know that he's a heck of a receiver and super talented, and Corey Coleman is blazing fast. So, you know, those two things, no doubt, those two guys are really good pass catchers. Now, you got to protect your quarterback long enough for those long routes to develop, and that's obviously what quarterbacks have had an issue doing against the Chargers as of late. But that said, yeah, I think it is a dangerous team. It's a dangerous pair out there just because of size in terms of Gordon, not to mention speed, but also the speed of Coleman. So I don't think the Chargers are taking this team lightly at all at 0-10. Heck, they may have taken, you know, they may have managed to take them too lightly last year at 0-14 when they lost to them and became the only team that lost to the Browns. So I think that helps the Chargers not overlooking this one because they were humiliated last year when they lost to the Browns in Cleveland. And I got to believe that they want to atone for that.
And looking now at the other side of the ball, the Chargers offense against that Browns defense, Rivers has just looked amazing over the last couple of weeks. He's completed 241 of 388 attempts on the season. That is 62.1%. He has almost 3,000 yards. He has 20 touchdowns. and 7 interceptions. So he's just been having a nice kind of, you know, last season it wasn't as good as I thought it could have been, but there was a lot of injuries. He lost Keenan Allen. He's Keenan Allen back now, and we also mentioned that, you know, he's been on a tear of late. You know, he's caught 23 passes for 331 yards and 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games, and I kind of had a chuckle there. Those numbers are insane when you look at it from that perspective. But looking at him, looking at Phillip Rivers, that connection back together again, and, you know, they're really on the one page. We mentioned, though, that prior to that, like, why are these teams going against him in man coverage? He did have 3 or 4 games there where he was a little bit limited from a schematic point of view. He wasn't being used as much in the passing game, but he really has been used in full flight over the last 2 weeks. So if you were the Browns, how do you think you would be trying to stop Keenan Allen this week, and is there a way of stopping Keenan Allen?
No, I really don't think there is. And that's something he said at the start of the year. He called himself the man killer. He's like, hey, you want to play me man? Look out. And
he runs the slant better than anyone in the NFL. I think he just takes those slants and it's good luck stopping them.
Yeah, I think, you know what it is, you know, he slipped into the third round because he ran a 4.65, right? The difference with Keenan Allen and every other receiver is he runs a 4.65 into the break. He runs a 4.65 at the break. He runs a 4.65 out of the break. The man never slows down. You know, that's what the difference is. That's why those slants are so effective, is maybe your average receiver, not maybe, that's what happens. Your average receiver has to slow down a beat to get into that break. Keenan doesn't. So, and every cornerback does. So when they're slowing down in the break, he's still going full speed and he is gone. And that's when he's doing double moves and he's still moving at the same rate. Man, is that a nightmare for defensive backs. And I think in terms of what you're going to see against the Browns, I've got to believe they're going to bring help, because the last 2 weeks they haven't. And like you just said, it's 330-plus yards and 3 touchdowns. And if they don't bring help, he's going to get to 500 after 3 games, you know, and probably 5 touchdowns. And that's kind of been their start. You know, he is, instead of, you know, running Melvin and establishing the run and then using play action to take shots downfield, it is – get Keenan Allen going. Once that gets going and you got to bring safety help over, now the middle of the field's open. Here comes Hunter Henry. And then when that gets going, now you start running the ball, because you can't bring an extra man into the box because you're freaking out over Allen and Henry, and the run support then brings you home. And that's what we've seen the last 2 weeks. And I think that's the same formula you're going to see this Sunday afternoon against the Browns.
Yeah, and when you look at it, you know, we mentioned the stats over 2 games. If he goes on to have a similar game that he has over the last 2 weeks, yeah, over a 3-game span, we could be looking at a historical trio of games back-to-back-to-back from Keenan Allen. So against the Browns team, that is certainly a possibility. It's going to be exciting to see what he does this weekend. So if you're looking at then from the Browns' point of view and how they're going to be able to try and get some pressure on Phillip Rivers, slow things down, this year's first overall pick, Myles Garrett, has made his presence felt so far with 5 sacks. He is having a nice rookie season. He had some injuries to start the year, but he has looked kind of as advertised prior to the draft. But this Chargers offensive line has been kind of a surprise to me. They've had so much injuries over the last kind of 4 or 5 years at the offensive line, losing player after player after player, and then having a mismatch of people come the end of the season. But this year has been a very, very consistent unit and one of the best in the league at this stage. Is there any concerns with this Browns defensive line being able to cause some concern for the Chargers offensive line this week?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. You hit it on the head. It's a surprise to everybody. Now, with the exception of Russell Okung, you know, who I think without question is going to be a Pro Bowl left tackle. I mean, he has been fantastic this year, especially in pass protection. It has not been a good run blocking line. So I think what you'll see is the Browns do some damage on that interior, much like we saw Marcel Darius do in Jacksonville. Danny Shelton's been great this year. And when you have that kind of big body and that sort of athleticism and that size of a human being, it is reminiscent to some degree of Darius. I'm not saying Danny Shelton's, you know, on that level of play, because Darius is one of the, when he is focused, my goodness, look out. But Shelton's really good and he's really big, and Spencer Pulley has had some issues on the interior of that line. Now remember, like you said, they've been banged up. You know, Pulley was probably going to be the center, but they wanted their right guard to be Forrest Lamp, and they wanted their left guard to be Matt Slauson. Pulley in the middle, Okung on the left tackle, and probably Barksdale. Well, Barksdale was down for 5 games, so you had Michael Schofield there. You lost Forrest Lamp in preseason. That became Kenny Wiggins. And you lost Matt Slauson a few weeks ago, and that became Dan Feeney. And Dan Feeney was ultimately supposed to be the starting center in place of Pulley. So you get the point, like, that this offensive line is doing as good a job as they are right now. It really speaks to whatever the coaching has been and the schemes that they have used to help protect what probably should be a pretty big weakness, because you're talking about four of the five guys on that line, everyone but Okun, probably, or at least three of the five, probably a backup to the position because of the absence of Barksdale for so long. So, yeah, that's where the Browns are going to have to make some hay, you know, and Danny Shelton specifically, I think, on the interior of that line, making it easier for Myles Garrett to just fly off an edge.
Yeah, and that's what makes it even more impressive, you know, when you don't have this plan in the offseason. Sometimes you fall into this thing where it all falls into place for you, and it looks like maybe the Chargers offensive line is one of those cases this season, and it's obviously good for them. And when we look then at the running games for both teams, both of them are kind of two-headed backfields. We have Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell for the Browns. I mentioned Isaiah Crowell on the injury report, but fully expect him to play this week. Then on the other side for the Chargers, you have Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. So, you know, Gordon has kind of slowed down in recent weeks. He has 698 yards on the season. He has five touchdowns. He did start off very, very strongly, but you mentioned it's not been a great run blocking offensive line. It has been a lot of his work as well. It was done through the air, but the impressive side of things here has been undrafted rookie Austin Eckler, who has emerged as kind of a perfect complement to him. He's carried the ball 37 times. He's also rushed the ball 24 times, and he has five touchdowns himself on the year. So he's been very impressive. Is there any concerns with Gordon's maybe drop in production? And then is there any you know, early thoughts on Austin Eckler? What do you see him going forward? There's obviously the easy comparison is to compare him to Danny Woodhead, who played for the Chargers. But how have you seen that there backfield develop over the season?
Yeah, I think there is some concern over Melvin. I think they're worried about his knee. You know, I think there have been days where it's really bothered him. And my guess is they would love to try to lighten that load a little bit. He's been really good in the pass game. I think he struggled a little bit, you know, running between the tackles. Eckler's been fantastic. I mean, he really has been just awesome. That is someone that does not go down easy. I mean, he's been described, and I think the difference between he and Danny Woodhead is just the strength, the explosion that he has. There were a couple runs in that game against Jacksonville when he had the two touchdowns and 130 yards plus, where you just watched him hit the hole, and man, does he explode. It actually really jumped out to me in the Buffalo game, just because when you watch LeSean McCoy in person, that's when you kind of get it. You're like, it looks like a cartoon. When he breaks through the line and he sees the lane and you just see the distance grow between him and a defensive back or a linebacker, you realize how much faster he is than anybody else on the field. And because it was in the same game, you saw that from Eckler. Once he got through the line, you don't realize the explosiveness that he has to get to that top end speed and how quickly he does it. So that's been a huge boost for the Chargers. You know, and you credit Tom Telesco and the scouting staff for finding him as an undrafted free agent out of Western State, and, you know, a lower level college program that he just lit up. And man, is he good. And he's good catching the ball to the backfield. And there's no doubt that that has been a big reason why the Chargers are able to be as balanced as they are, because yeah, I think there are games in which Melvin has definitely been feeling that knee injury a little bit and has not been as explosive as you would expect him to otherwise be.
And it's always amazing when you see these guys. You know, there's so many undrafted free agents that make it in the league and make it to very, very high status, and you see it year in, year out, and it's just another one that has slipped through all the cracks of all 32 teams entirely throughout the draft process, and then has got taken in as an undrafted free agent and is doing a very, very nice job. And you mentioned balanced. I think that's a nice word to use for this Chargers team at this particular moment. And obviously, despite playing in the NFL's smallest stadium this year, the Chargers have yet to sell out a home game. You've been at all those games. It's their first season in Los Angeles. The biggest crowd for a game yet has been 27,000 at the StubHub Center, and that came against the Denver Broncos, and most of those fans at that game were Denver fans. So the rumors are going around that this could be the lowest attended game in modern NFL history, with the Browns obviously struggling and not expecting many of their fans to travel. What has the atmosphere been like at the home games, and are the team and the organization concerned about the difficulty in selling those seats as they enter that market in LA?
Yeah, I think there's some concern. I think I probably have to disagree with you a little bit. There was only one game where it was really bad, and that was the Philadelphia game. I thought there were probably 6 to 7 out of every 10 fans were Philly fans. Every other game has been about 50-50. I think what people fall into the trap is when you come to see an opposing team, the fans end up wearing their opposing team jerseys. They want people to know, hey, we're here. Whereas the home fans, they may wear a jersey, they may not. So that's kind of the way I gauge it, is how many. Anyway, it's definitely tricky. There were more Charger fans, considerably more Charger fans than were Bills fans the last time out. I'd say it was probably 70-30 Chargers in that one. And I expect they're going to see a lot of folks out that are Charger fans or football fans for the Browns game. The trick for the Chargers, and I don't want to bore people or make it sound like I'm spinning this positive, but this is the reality. The NFL insists that teams have what they call holds. Because it's such a small venue, isn't in line with what the average ticket price is across the country, which is somewhere in the $50 range. You know, the average ticket price for a Charger game is $120. So now you've got to, you know, yeah, you've got to decide day of game. Oh, I'm going to take my family of four with parking, with concessions. It's going to cost me $600 or $700. That's a tough thing to do. So I think that's where the challenge has been, is trying to figure out what these game day holds and if they can lower that number so they can sell more tickets in advance to Charger fans that can kind of map out how they're going to make that sort of investment.
Yeah, and the other thing to obviously, as we see as the season progresses here, if this team is heading to the playoffs, successful football teams tend to have more full stadiums. So I'd expect if this Chargers team goes on the projection that we're looking at as the season progresses here, this stadium will be nice and full by the end of it. As we finish up, I just want to get your opinion, obviously, on what you expect for this game this week. The Browns, obviously, no wins on the season, and I think it's going to be the same after this weekend's contest.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. We asked Anthony Lynn about this being a trap game, and he laughed. He said, we're 5-6. You know, if you're 10-2, yeah, maybe there's trap games. But when you're 5-6, there's no such thing as a trap game. So they're not overlooking the Browns. They're considerably more talented than the Browns. It's a home game. It's one of the hottest teams in football. I would be very, very surprised if they ended up dropping this contest.
Yeah, I would be absolutely stunned. And just as we finish up, one final question. We mentioned the 5-6 record. Does this team make the playoffs? I think at the moment it looks very open in the AFC, and if they go on a nice little run here, I think it's all to play for.
I think they do. There's one game that I, you know, obviously they have to go to Arrowhead and play the Chiefs, and we just don't know what the Chiefs are right now, you know, and I think that's the one game to kind of just think about, because my guess is one of these three teams, the way the schedule maps out, the Chiefs, the Chargers, or the Raiders, one of them is going to win out. I really believe that. And whichever one does is the one that's going to make the playoffs, and maybe two of them do, you know. But the fact that the Chargers play the Chiefs, the Chiefs play the Raiders play the Chargers, you know, that's kind of the key, that one of them is going to end up winning both of those games, and that's the team that's going to end up being, you know, your AFC West champ.
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with all that there. And obviously for the listeners, you can check out Matt on Twitter. It's at Matt Money Smith, one of the coolest nicknames in the NFL media game, and that is the money tag. So it's always my pleasure to have you on, Matt, and hopefully it's a good game this Sunday as we move through the NFL season.
Well, like I said, I always enjoy it, Colin. Thanks for having me, man.
Once again, thanks to Matt for jumping aboard the show. We mentioned you can follow him on Twitter at MattMoneySmith. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into what we discussed there using a couple of the apps up on rotowiz.com. And of course, the season is getting closer to the end. It's closer to the end than the start, and it is really flying along at a rapid rate. But it's still a great time to get yourself an NFL pass at rotowiz.com. You can get one right now with 30% off for all listeners to the podcast. It is available through the NFL podcast homepage. That is rotowiz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. So get that 30% discount at rotowiz.com/podcast. And of course, the season, as I mentioned, week 13, it is moving along very briskly, but we'll have great content from now through the offseason and ahead to next season. So no better time than at present to get yourself in on the action with that 30% discount. And of course, that is available to listeners of the podcast only. So for being such a loyal listener and a great listener here to Rotoviz Radio, grab that discount for yourself, rotoviz.com/podcast. So we're looking into the game now, obviously, breaking it down using some of the apps up on rotoviz.com. There's quite a few interesting players in this one that I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing how they do this Sunday. And I'll have a lot of exposure to this game, both in DFS and in season-long leagues. If anyone listens to my OTI podcast, they'll know that I'm a big Keenan Allen fan, and over the last couple of years, that has been a tough go at times with injuries and that have kept him out of action for a lot longer than I would have appreciated. But when he's on the field and when he's playing like he did over the last couple of weeks, he's obviously somebody that you want in your lineups. But we'll be talking about Keenan in just a moment. But when we're looking through some of the players, and I want to look up first here with Philip Rivers, and he's obviously really balling out at the moment. And looking at his projections using the GLSP app here up on rotoviz.com, pretty standard range of outcomes for him this week. It's been a consistent couple of weeks for Rivers, and you might see an explosion. Sometimes people expect playing against the Cleveland Browns, who are pretty good against the run this season as a defense, and expect people to funnel the pass through in that situation. And sometimes, though, as a game like this one is, where the Chargers are 14-point favorites at home, sometimes you expect the quarterback's going to go off in this, but a lot of those games tend to have a heavier volume base towards the running back. So we'll see how this game does progress at the time, but if the Chargers end up being 14, 16, maybe 21 points up in that fourth quarter, we'll see the team take their foot off the pedal as we did while they beat the Buffalo Bills 2 weeks ago as they switched out at quarterback in that one. So looking at the range of outcomes, the low for Philip Rivers in a 4-point passing touchdown league is 15.9, the median is 18.4, and then the high is 23.5. So I think we're at a pretty solid range of outcomes there, where Philip Rivers is an automatic play this week, and I think you're going to get a nice return from him. But even at that spike ceiling, it's still not going to be an incredible outlay, but I think there's no doubt about it. If you've him in season long, you're certainly starting him. I think he's going to be a very, very much chalk play this week when we look at it from a DFS perspective. And, for that, with the amount of people that will be on him, maybe in that format, it might be a time to sit back. But if you're playing him in cash games, I think it's definitely one of those guys that can really, really help you out this week. But I think most people are going to have him starting this coming week. When you're looking then at the running backs, I mentioned it can become a game where it's very, very heavily involved at the running back position. And I think they're both very, very interesting options. When you're looking then, obviously, at the Chargers, you have Melvin Ingram and Austin Eckler. I've been very impressed with what Eckler has done. He was somebody that, as an undrafted free agent, after 1 or 2 weeks this season, I had been hearing a lot of buzz about him from people in the Chargers camp. And I picked him up in a lot of my dynasty leagues, cheaply, and took him as a stash to see what would happen. And obviously, he's looking good. And if you look at Eckler, it's quite an interesting stat that I seen today, that since week 6, he has actually outscored Kareem Hunt. So Kareem Hunt had that monster start to the season, and unfortunately for Kareem Hunt owners, he hasn't found the end zone in the space of time since that. So Austin Eckler obviously having a nice run when you look at it in that perspective. But even more so than that, the interesting thing that I've seen is that if you look at his points scored since week 7, you put it all, he has outscored every running back in the NFL outside of 11 running backs in PPR, and that includes his teammate Melvin Gordon. So there's a little bit of a split going here. We'll see if he can continue to eat a little bit more into Melvin Gordon's workload. I have not been impressed with Melvin Gordon as an actual runner this season, but as Matt pointed out there, it has been a better pass blocking offensive line than a run blocking offensive line. But I have not been impressed with what he's done there. But, I mentioned the Browns been good against the run, but over the last couple of weeks, they've given up back-to-back 100-yard rushing games to both Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon. So going into this week, I think it's going to be a possible game here for both of these guys. As I mentioned, that high against the spread in favor of the Chargers, and I think we'll see both running backs get a nice workload. Melvin Gordon, I think, is going to be much higher owned. I think Austin Eckler is an interesting play this week. And out of those two, just based on price, and I mentioned it 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had Eckler in quite a few lineups, and I've been doing that a couple of times this season. So he's an interesting play. Melvin Gordon, though, somebody who I'm just not really buying in on at this stage. But if you own him in a season-long league, I think, this is a prime matchup. I think you have to start him based on the amount of opportunities to get points that this team's going to have. And you'd imagine they're going to be in the red zone on quite a number of occasions. And, of course, what that gives you red zone opportunities. And I think we'll see a lot of them go the way of Melvin Gordon this week. So I'm basically pretty much telling you to start all running backs here for the Chargers. Melvin Gordon is, an RB1 candidate this week. And then Austin Eckler is, in my opinion, a safe flex option. We didn't really touch on DeShone Kizer. He's somebody I just am not advising anyone to slot in to their lineups over this weekend. There's only 2 or 3 options this week that I think I would rank below him, and that is really when you're scraping the bottom off the barrel from that perspective. So getting to the tight ends, we'll look at the Cleveland Browns quickly first, and we mentioned Josh Gordon coming back. There'll be a lot of people who will want to play Josh Gordon this week coming back, but obviously a long, long time. If you're looking back to week 16 of 2014, the last time he's had a game and he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 15 of 2013. So you're going back now almost 4 years since the last time he scored a touchdown. So I'm very excited to see him back on the field. I'm glad that he's had a chance to work through the demons that he's had and his story, if he can come back and have a run at an NFL career, if he can play now for 4 or 5 years consistently, it'll be a story that people will tell for a long, long time. So looking forward to see how he does, but it's a very, very tough matchup against this Chargers secondary, and it's just one that you can't really go in and trust him. There will be people that have him, and if he goes off and it's a massive game this week, fair play, but he'll not be in my lineups. Corey Coleman has been an interesting play over the last couple of weeks. He has now played in 4 games with Deshaun Kizer. He's averaging 8 targets in that time, and he's seeing 6 targets in every game, a minimum of 6 targets, in every game. So that's something kind of for them to build upon, and he's totaled at least 53 yards in 3 of those games. So as we move forward here, I think he's the player. If you're playing one of them this week, if you're trying to stack this game and get some of the LA Chargers players in and then having somebody to come back with, I think the two options really, if you're looking at the Browns, are Corey Coleman. The other one I'd be looking at is Duke Johnson, the possibility of slotting him in there. So when I was going through the running backs, I quickly went with the Chargers options. I forgot to mention, obviously, as you've noticed now, as I've touched on Duke Johnson after the running backs, I meant to obviously mention them previously. With Duke Johnson, I think the PPR game, he's the one that you want to have in this game. He's getting less work than Isaiah Crowell. Crowell still averaging 15 touches per game, but he belongs for this one in the flex conversation. But Duke Johnson's the player that you want to be playing, in my opinion. I like I mentioned earlier with Keenan Allen, Duke Johnson is somebody that I've long been a believer in, and I thought this season would be a much bigger year for him, but it has been a pretty good year for him all around. I thought there might be a breakout year, and obviously maybe we'll see that happen next year. But he's had a nice little run over the last couple of weeks, getting some plays in the slot and the wide receiver position. He's getting a lot of pass catching work. So Duke Johnson, if this game does start to get out of hand, could see a nice role, and there's PPR points picking up quite considerably if we get into a situation where they are coming from behind for a large majority of this game. The one note here is for the Chargers, they have allowed just one running back to eclipse 69 total rushing yards in the last 7 games, and that was LeSean McCoy, and that was the game obviously that they'd really blown out the Bills at halftime. So it's a team that just isn't giving up much rushing yards on the ground, so it's a very, very tough matchup for Crowell in this one. Looking then, the player I want to dive a little bit deeper into is, of course, Keenan Allen. And, we heard when Matt was talking there, I said, how do you stop Keenan Allen? He just said, simply, you can't. So if you can't stop Keenan Allen, we're just going to look through some of the numbers that he has over the last couple of weeks. Pretty much all season long, if we're looking at air yards up here on rotoviz.com, scrolling down through them, and the lowest air yards total for the season for him was 56. That was against Oakland in week 6. We're looking through them, he's 2 with 60 overall, but then it really spikes up. Everything else is pretty much above 70, but look at those last 2 weeks. Against Buffalo, 105 air yards, and last week, 143 air yards. So pretty much breaking the air yard scale over the last couple of weeks, looking at those targets. I mentioned a little bit of a lull in the mid-season. He went with 7-5-7 in his target range, but then we're booming it back up with 13 and 14 as we head into those last 2 games. And I had a bold prediction up on rotoviz.com for that Thanksgiving slate, and I said that he would break the record for receptions on Thanksgiving. He almost got there. He was one away from tying the record, but the performance he put up, I think I was on the right track with the process that I went there. And it's been interesting as well, if you look at the target share over this opportunity that he's had in the last 2 weeks. He had 42% last week, 35% the week before, so that will drop down. But if you look at the rest of the season, he's pretty much averaging 23 to 30% each and every game this season, barring that spell where I mentioned where he had the 2 games in week 9 and week 10, and they were both down at 17 and 19%. So we're booming it all the way back up, and I think we'll see him in around 30% this week. So Keenan Allen, safe play there, I have to say, all round. That is what I'm expecting this week. We're looking at his range of outcomes. The other player I want to touch on when we're looking through it here on that side is Terrell Williams, and he's had a nice couple of games this season. It's hard to really see which games when they're coming, but Mike Williams expected to miss this game, so that gives him opportunity. The only other real wide receiver of note at that point then is Travis Benjamin. So Terrell Williams could get some nice targets here, particularly if the Browns do really try and sell out to stop Keenan Allen. So Terrell Williams, looking at his range of outcomes in the GLSP app, there is obviously no floor for him, and that's kind of to be expected with Terrell Williams from week to week. In PPR leagues, it's 2.4, then the median 9.7, but the high then, if he gets that touchdown, brings it all the way up to 15.8. So I think we're looking at a medium to high range for him, but again, as I mentioned, there is pretty much no floor with Terrell Williams this season. It's the Chargers offense has been spreading it around, and the player that I'm going to talk about next, and we're talking about no floor, he kind of falls into that Terrell Williams bracket, and that is Hunter Henry. We're looking at Hunter Henry. He is somebody who this season, from game to game, and there's games where he's disappeared, there's games where he's just had monster games. So we're looking through it, you know, week 1, 0 receptions, week 3, 0 receptions, week 10, 1 reception, he's had a couple of 2 reception games, then he's had 7 receptions in games, 5 receptions, 4, 5. So it's been just an up and down year. It's been so hard to be able to trust him on this season. Every time you kind of trust him, he screws it up on you. Every time you don't think he's going to do something, he blows up. So it's one of those ones where it's just so tough. And his matchup this week is tremendous. He's getting an opportunity to go up against the team that has allowed the third most points to opposing tight ends in fantasy this season. So I'm going to slot in first the snap report and just have a quick look at it up on RotoViz. And when we look at it, we have Antonio Gates there, we have Hunter Henry, Jeff Cumberland's been there for the last few weeks, and then Sean McGrath, who is pretty much a blocking tight end who never gets a target. So we're looking through it. We have Antonio Gates, who is pretty much from the start of the season to this point rolled all the way down to a kind of 20% player in terms of his snap. So he's kind of featured out of the game. He's getting a couple of targets here and there, but Antonio Gates is not as much to be worried about as what we had at the start of the season with Hunter Henry, which has made some of his workloads and games very, very surprising, to say the least. And then Cumberland again, he's at 37%, so don't really worry about him too much. But the interesting thing is, when you look at Hunter Henry, you know, he had a few games in the middle of the season where he was up at 83%, 81%. It's fallen back down now to the kind of the 60 to 50 range on week-to-week basis. So it's going to be interesting to see what his workload is this week. But I mentioned the situation in the matchup against the Cleveland Browns, giving up the third most points to opposing tight ends. So when we look into it, the first thing I'm going to do is look at the AYA app, and that is the adjusted yards per attempt per receiver. And if we look at Phillip Rivers' time in San Diego, that is from 2009 to 2017, look down through it, and there's a lot of impressive wide receivers, tight ends in this list. Tonio Gates, Ladarius Green's in there, Vincent Jackson, Malcolm Floyd, Darren Sproles, Antonio Gates. You know, we're looking down through it. Travis Benjamin, who obviously gets a lot of deep targets, Danny Woodhead, Terrell Williams, who we talked about earlier, and then of course we have Keenan Allen. So there's lots and lots of names to go along through that. And if you look at the man that's at the top of that list throughout all that time, there's one name that stands alone, and that is Hunter Henry with 11.57. So it's interesting to see for a tight end to be so highly rated on that. And looking then at his projections on the GLSP app, is low again. That floor is invisible. It is not there. There is no floor with him. And in PPR leagues, it is 3.1. But if you look at his median, it bounces up straight away. It's 12.1. You look at his high, 22.4. So we could see a real monster breakout on the season here for Hunter Henry, and that is what I'm expecting to happen this week. Last week he had a monster game. He had the 5 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown against Dallas, and I think, you know, at home, such heavy favorites, I just think this is a monster spot where he could really have a huge game. And he is the one that is my draft play of the week I'm going with, and I think if you have any sense, you'll slot him in to those draft lineups, get him in those DFS lineups. You know, there is the possibility, I mentioned that they're a little bit creeping in with the floor possibility. Will he have no targets in this game? Will he have no yards in this game? I don't think that is happening. I think it's a very, very safe play this week that I don't think a lot of people are going to be on based on that up and down nature, as I mentioned, of his season. So Hunter Henry is my draft play of the week. And of course, if you haven't played on draft yet, this is the perfect time. Maybe your team is out of playoff contention. Maybe you're already got yourself sorted. You have a bye week sorted for next week as you head into the playoffs. Either way, you can play on draft, and just search on the App Store for the Draft app. And all that you have to do if you're playing online is go to playdraft.com, whichever one you prefer. I'll be playing this coming weekend, and for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you use our code RVRadio with your first deposit. If you have listened to the show before, you'll know what draft is. It is a snake style draft, and it has no salary caps. You just go from pick one all the way through as many players as in that league, reverse back around from the, say if it's 12 players, pick 12, gets pick 13 as well, and you work back your way around. So you pretty much just set it and forget it, do your draft, only takes a couple of minutes, and of course you can play for cold hard cash. Drafts start from $1, so there's pretty much a draft for everyone, and it is a huge amount of fun. And of course, if you're going through it this week, there might be players going, you know, Hunter Henry might be going as their maybe 8th or 9th tight end off the board. And of course, with that, then you can set your lineup around that and have a nice, nice win this weekend. So Hunter Henry, my playdraft.com player of the week. So with that, we've run through all the different parts of the show, all the players that I think are of interest this week. The Browns, obviously, you're looking at players who can play from behind, and Duke Johnson's a player I'm a huge fan of over his career, and I think eventually this staff will give him a huge workload and give him that opportunity that I think he deserves to see what he can do in a full-time role, and we'll see if that happens towards the end of the season or next season. And I think Coleman, I'm looking forward to seeing what Josh Gordon does when he gets back in the field. Deshaun Kizer, I think's in for a really, really tough day. I think Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram are just going to cause so much trouble for him. The cornerbacks are so tough. It's just a really bad matchup here for the Browns. And of course, they haven't won this season. Can they get that first win? It's not, for me, happening this week. This is just a bad matchup. Sets up nicely for the Chargers at home. Getting, they're big, heavy favorites. The defense is playing well. The running games, there's a balance there. I'm not sold on Melvin Gordon's performance this season so far, but, if you're playing a fantasy football, you just care about him getting those points on the board. And, of course, he has been doing that the majority of the weeks this year. So I think pretty much that's my assumption of what's going to happen here. It's going to be a case of the Chargers lighting it up on the scoreboard against the Cleveland Browns. And with that, it's going to do us for today's edition of the show. This was the Week 13 show, so 13 shows in the books. If you have any suggestions as to what we should do in the Week 14 show, hit me up on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My name's Colm Kelly. Thanks for listening in, and of course, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes, your favourite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz and a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.